Leaders and teachers, we're back at 4 p.m. for our leaders and teachers monthly meeting, so make sure you're here, and we'll tackle that right before we get into communion service tonight. And I do want to make sure that if you're a member, try to get back tonight for the communion service. Let's stand with our Bibles. We're going to go ahead and turn to the book of Acts and the book of Joshua. The book of Acts and the book of Joshua. Finishing off what we started several weeks ago, we'll read in Acts chapter 14 and verse 2 first. Then we'll go back to Joshua chapter 22 and pick up where we left off last Sunday night. And so if you have been here for any length of time over the past few weeks, you know that we have been dealing with being evil affected. Mrs. White gave a testimony about that in Sunday school, how that happened so quickly and easily at her job. And just mentioning that it could be a bomb in a package, and everybody got scared and believed what she said. Amen. It is easy to happen. Acts chapter 14 and verse number 2 is the verse that we're going to read. And also in Joshua 22, get your fingers there. We'll be in Joshua 22 and verse 10. Everybody got those two areas? Say amen. Amen. And any old me's got to just see, I'm running out of fingers, preacher. Amen. Just one in Acts chapter 14, one finger in Joshua 22. That leaves you with eight fingers. Unless you want to tithe one of those. Amen. As Mark said, and then you'll only have nine. Acts chapter 14. Let's read verse number 2 first of all together. It says, "But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren." Now, the first two sermons that I preached here was on the phrase evil affected. And we talked about receiving the rule of the rejectors and how the Jews had rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then they made the minds evil affected of not just the Christian brethren, but other non-Christians as well. We talked about how when you receive the rule of a rejector, that is what happens. Your mind is evilly affected and you cannot do what you need to do for God. And then go over to Joshua chapter 22. So receiving the rule of the rejectors was the first part of being evil affected. Then over in Joshua chapter 22, we're going to read verse 10, 11, and 12. Joshua 22, verse 10, 11, and 12. And to read with me starting in verse number 10. "And when they came unto the borders of Jordan that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. And the children of Israel heard say, Behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Cana in the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them." And so the other side of being evil affected or receiving the rule of the rejector is once you get right with God and you confess that as sin after you receive that affectedness and your mind's been tainted towards people, the common trait for us is to avoid that person, that people, that situation totally, and to just cast them off and to apply what happened back there in the past to the present people today. That is exactly what is happening here. Israel finds themselves in a predicament where they had a past problem and they begin to apply it to present people. And once you've been evil affected, if you don't get thoroughly right with God, it is so easy to apply that to every situation that you have from that point on. It matters not who the person was that evil affected you. You will take that type or that gender, or that person, or that people, or that place, whatever it is, and you'll have that forever in your mind. You said, you fooled me once, shame on me. You fooled me twice, shame on you. And folks, you cannot do that. You cannot do that. You've got to judge people by the word of God, not on a past situation. Amen. And that's what we began talking about last Sunday night. After we've been evil affected and received the rule of the rejector, it's so easy to come back and apply past problem to present people. It is so easy to do. It really is. Mrs. White showed you how easy it really can be. All of us can do it, and many of us do it, as I'm going to demonstrate today, amen? And you will see that that is not God's way. God's way is to take his word and apply that to people, not your past problem, amen? His word is sufficient to handle any present people or problem, not a past. Father, bless now in our lives today the word of God. Thank you for what we've heard on the Patch the Pirate program. Now I can see. Lord, I do pray that many here today can truly see the gospel of Jesus Christ that can save souls, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Lord, as we can see, we know it's so easy to get blinded as well to truth. And help us not to be blinded by truth today, but help us to accept the truth. And Lord, we know that past problems, past people, past predicaments can blind us to the truth of the reality of what is in front of us in the present people. And Lord, help us today to glean from this passage of Joshua what to do and how to handle situations when we've been evil affected by a past problem. So we are careful not to apply it to present people. Thank you so much for loving us today. Lord, I pray you'd bless down the children's church area. Give them the understanding and the clarity to understand your message of love to them. And help us as well today to understand the message you have for us. Lord, I don't know where every heart, mind, or person is at today as far as spiritually being with you. Lord, I know this is a message that we need to hear because it is so easy to put up parameters and fences and guards unfairly towards people that we ought not put them up against. Help us, Lord, to discern with the word of God. And if there is one today without Jesus Christ, if they were to die, they're not absolutely confident, 100% sure that heaven is their home. I pray that today they would make that decision to be gloriously born again before it's everlasting too late. Thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for loving us. Use this service, blessing the message and the song, and then the sermon in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
A life filled with aimless desperation. Without hope, walked the shell of a man. Then a hand with a nail print stretched downward. Just one touch, then a new life began. And the old rugged cross made the difference in a life bound for heartache and defeat. I will praise him forever. For the cross made the difference for me. Now there's a room filled with sad, ashen faces. Without hope, death has wrapped them in gloom. But at the sight of a saint, there's rejoicing. For life can't be sealed in a tomb. And the old rugged cross made the difference in a life made the difference for me.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Wilbur. I appreciate that message and song. I don't know about you, but the cross made a difference for me. And I trust it made a difference for you. Amen. We shared some things with the men yesterday about David and David's sin and how David said, blessed is the man that his sins is forgiven. Amen. And he was just praising God for that. Amen. I definitely join in with that praise that David gave for Almighty God and what he's done for me. Amen. So come back tonight. We'll truly see the great price that was paid for our sins as we look at communion tonight. And that might be an encouragement to you. Well, we're talking about applying past problems to present people. Have you been evil affected in that way? All of us, if we were honest, would agree that we have been evil affected by receiving the rule of rejectors at some point in our lives. We have either been on one or both sides. We've affected someone else mentally by what we've said, or they've affected us mentally by what they said. And then we looked at a third party in a way that really was not fair to that third party because we didn't get a chance to make our own minds. Someone made our minds up for us. And the Bible says they made their minds evil affected. Well, then once you get past that and you understand that you had been evilly affected, and some never get past that, believe it or not. But then once you do get past that, the tendency is to look back at the person that did that to you and kind of put the hand up, or you'll not fool me again. And then the tendency is to get towards the evil affected part and say, well, I don't trust you. But then consequently, every other relationship that you come across, what you do is apply that past problem to that present person unfairly. Y'all with me? We began talking about that last Sunday night, and it happens to many of us, unfortunately. Over here in Joshua, we're going to see here in just a few moments what actually happened to them and how this played out in their lives. But often when you receive the rule of rejectors and become evil affected, the tendency is to apply that past problem of evil affectedness to present people, types, genders, persons, situations, authorities, races, etc., to protect yourself. It's a common thing. But friend, you've got to apply the word of God. You can't apply the past problem. Why? The past problem is not the rule or the guide for spirituality. It may dictate what went wrong, but it's not going to dictate how to stay right and get right. And so we've got to apply the word of God. I know when it happened to me, I put the sign up, do not enter, go away, no one's at home. Amen. Hey, don't come barking up this tree. And if you even remotely said something similar to what that past person said or that past problem resembled, guess what? It was talk to the hand. You're not getting anywhere close to me. And so as we'll see here in just a few minutes, that is not the appropriate response. God does want us to be discerning, don't get me wrong, but we need to exercise that discernment by applying the word of God and not the past problem to present people. And it is good to discern and to learn from the past. We began talking about that. Some people, because of their evil affectedness and how someone affected them, what happens is they begin to hold grudges. And some people can hold grudges with the same type of person that evil affected them, or the same gender or the same position. Some have been abused or taken advantage of, and they're evil affected towards situational type people. What am I talking about? They've been abused by men or fathers, and so they have difficulty trusting all or most men. Can I get amen? Amen. Why do you think so many ladies turn to lesbianism? Why? Because something obviously is not right hormonally with them, or someone evil affected them of the male species. And so I don't like any male species, and so I'm going to have a relationship with the same sex because these guys, I just don't trust them. So either biologically or physiological, it's still a choice that they made. But oftentimes it's something that happened to them in the past and it's going to be applied to all present people. Same thing with guys and gals, with homosexuals. Same thing. Same thing. There's demonic spirits with that. Someone has been abused by authority or a figure in the past, and so they have difficulty trusting all or most authority figures. Some have been abused by a woman or a mom, and so they have difficulty trusting all or most women. They have problems with those relationships. Some have been abused by a pastor or church leader, and so they have difficulty trusting all or most church leadership or authorities. Some have been betrayed by a friend or a spouse or a child, and so they're suspect on all or most close relationships. You're not going to get but so close to me because someone like you betrayed my trust in the past. And I'm not going to let that happen again. What happened? You've been evil affected. And now you took that evil effectiveness of receiving that rule of the rejector, whatever it was that happened, and now you're taking that and you're bringing it into a present situation or a present relationship, saying, you'll not do to me what they did to me back there. You'll not get close to me like they did back there. You'll not abuse me like they did back there. You'll not do this to me. I'm going to protect myself. And this is how I'm going to protect myself, by applying that problem to you, because you seem to remind me of them. Amen. Friend, you're going to fall. You're going to fall. You cannot do that. You cannot do that. What if God held the standard for every Christian against you and said, this is the way you ought to behave? And God said, because you don't behave that way, I'm applying every past situation to your life. We can't count God unfair. But yet we do the same thing. We do the same thing. Amazingly, we'll trust others. It's just those types of people that evil affected us or resemble them that we don't trust or seem to have difficulty trusting, even though they're present people and not the past problem. I mentioned to you Sunday night, you can have a saved soul, but not a healed heart. You can have a saved soul, but not a mended mind. I remember when I first met my wife, and she told me about an evil affectedness that she had. And we accepted that, and we went on. Then we got saved. And we got saved. We said, well, ho, wait a minute. Now we got to go talk to that person that evil affected you. And so we went to face the evil effector. But even though we faced the evil effector and tried to get it right, there was still something that wasn't right on the inside. And even though we had faced the perpetrator, the tormentor, face to face, there was something there. And every time I'd get close to talking about certain issues or situations that began to touch that sore spot in Carmen's life, Carmen would just break down and start crying. I said, what's wrong? And we'd get closer and she'd break down and cry again. What's wrong? We'd go away on vacation. We'd come back from vacation and boom, she'd break down again. And it got worse and worse and worse. I said, I take you away and everything's fine. But we come back, we get close to that issue, and you break down. What's wrong? I didn't have any answers for that. What happened? She had been evil affected. And although she had faced her tormentor, she was still subconsciously bringing that past problem into present day situations. And you ain't going to get but so close. And if you get close to this point in my life or this ill in my life, guess what? I'm going to break down because I can't face that again. And it happened over and over and over. And I was at my wit's end. God, she's saved. I know she's got to be saved. But we keep coming into this problem. Why can't she get over this hump? Why can't she get this right? Why does she have to apply past problems to present situations and present people? Why can't she get it right? And I didn't understand that. I couldn't comprehend that. Why? Because it didn't happen to me. It happened to her. So I couldn't fix the problem. And for a man, that's hard. For a pastor, that's worse. I'm a fixer. I've got to be able to fix it. And I couldn't fix her. She wasn't broken. She just needed to be healed. She had a saved soul, but she didn't have a healed heart. She had a saved soul, but she didn't have a mended mind. That perpetrator, that thing that was back there continued to haunt her and haunt her and haunt her. And it'd come in there and she'd go and she'd go and she'd be going fire and then crash and burn. I'm scratching my head. I'm like, Lord, what else can I do? This is the wife that you gave me. I love her and I don't want to see her like this. It wasn't until one day Carmen saw someone. And when she saw this someone, it was almost as if God said, this person can help you. This person can unlock that heart. This person can help you with that healing. This person can help you to get your mind mended. This person can work it out. And folks, it took some doing and it took some time. I'll never forget it. It took time. I was worried. I was concerned. Because I love this young lady. I love her. And I didn't want her in this bondage. I didn't want her to keep bringing this past problem into present situations. And I saw how dangerous it was. And this person helped her identify the problem. And when she identified the problem, she was able to go in there and dig it out and say, this is your problem. Now you got to face it. You got to confront it. You got to deal with it.
It's here. It's binding you. It's demonic, and it's going to keep you with an unmended mind. It's going to keep you with an unhealed heart if you don't face it and deal with it. And this person helped her identify the problem. Amen. This person helped her see the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to cleanse us of all sin. This person helped see it was demonic bondage that she was facing. Yes, she was saved, but the devil can still bind your mind. And with a past problem like she had, her mind was bound back there, was bound there, and she drug it around. Yes, she was saved, but she applied that to every hurt and every type of situation that was close to that. Therefore, she'd break down. And as it mounted and escalated and got harder and stronger and stronger, and God sent her to the right one to deal with her at the right time, she faced that demon that had her bound in her mind, that had her heart so twisted up. And layer by layer, she began to peel off those things that past problem involved them and peel it off and be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, folks, you can have a saved soul, but not a healed heart. You can have a saved soul, but not a mended mind. It can happen. I've seen it. And I've seen it in other people. And as the layers began to peel off and peel off, and as she began to deal with this issue and face this sin of evil affectedness, there was a part of Carmen that had never really been exposed to anybody. Because that part of her stopped growing at the time she got evil affected, and it could not receive. We'll call her Little Carmen. And Little Carmen, from the point that the evil affectedness happened, did not grow. Although Carmen began to mature, get older and older and older, got married, had children, Little Carmen was still back there in the past, evil affected. Little Carmen didn't know how to get in the present. Neither did Little Carmen know how to deal with people. Let me tell you something, it's real. It's real. And that's why people can have a past problem and apply it to present people when I've been evil affected way back there. And you can say you got it right, you dealt with it, but can you pray for the perpetrator? Can you sincerely pray for them like God wants you to? Then you really haven't forgiven them. We went and faced the perpetrator, both of us, but it wasn't over. Why? Healing had to happen in the heart. Amending in the mind had to happen. And that can only happen by the blood of Jesus Christ. And as we went back to the blood of Jesus Christ, and that blood was applied, and she was washed in the blood and got that thing settled and began to talk about that thing and face that perpetrator and saw that it was demonic controlling that was going on in her mind and her heart. And the devil had her bamboozled and had her snafu'd and said, look, I know I can't unsave you. I know I can't do all these things, but I can sure keep you going back into the past. I can sure keep you to bring that on any future relationship. I can sure get that to be a stumbling block right here so you will not have a good relationship with anybody that you desire to because I got you in the past. And it happens. It happens. I'll never forget that day. I got a brand new wife that day. Amen. It's just like getting saved. When I came out and looked at Carmen, I said, I got me a new wife. She said, I got me a new husband.
Praise the Lord.
She felt lighter than a feather. She felt free as a bird. Little Carmen got to run around and grow up. Little Carmen didn't have to protect herself anymore from everybody and everything and every situation because you might do the same thing like it happened back there. See, Little Carmen didn't have to protect herself because now I got Jesus. Amen. Jesus is my protector. I've got God. God is my Father. I've got Him now. He's going to protect me. Hey, you're not keep me bound anymore. You're not going to get the best of me anymore. Well, I got a God in heaven that is able.
Amen.
From that point on, Carmen had to worry about a thing in that regard. And Little Carmen began to grow up. Little Carmen began to mature. Little Carmen began to handle relationships. Little Carmen hadn't broken down like that since. Hallelujah and praise God. God is good. I got my wife back. And folks, I'm telling you, it takes some doing to get that to happen. We prayed and we prayed for years. But God brought the right person at the right time to help Carmen to identify the problem, to help her identify this is the past, to identify the precious blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you. look at that demonic tormentor and look at what they're doing to you and look how they're shackling you and let the blood of Jesus Christ get them evicted from your heart, heal your heart, get them out of your mind and mend that mind. And let's go for the glory of God. Hey, grow up in that area. Get out of that past. Come into the present. And hallelujah, I praise God that it happened. Because now she can handle relationships a whole lot better than she could back then. Why? Little Carmen couldn't handle it. Little Carmen kept breaking down. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm not just speaking whimsical words. I'm talking from experience. I've been there. I've been evil affected as well, not to the degree that Carmen was. And it tainted my mind and it affected my heart. And so I began to have to guard my own heart. And God said, you cannot do that, son. You'll miss people I died for. You'll miss people that I love. And you'll miss people that I want you to love, that I want to love through you. You won't be able to love them because you're suspect already. Have a healing in your heart. Mending in your mind, you must go back to the point in which you were hurt and spiritually confront the issue, which often means dealing with people that affected you evilly. Christians can be evil affected from the past problem held against present people. In other words, we can become suspect on all or most future people types or groups or genders or races or positions once we've been evil affected to protect ourselves. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Can you pray for them? He says in Matthew 18:35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother that trespasses. Well, wait a minute. She had forgiven the best way she knew how. But somebody had to take her a step further. Say, there's a part of your heart that you're not dealing with. And that's that part that's way back there. Because you can't see it. Because you don't want to see it. Because it hurts to see it. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
It's that issue in your life that hurts every time you talk about it. It's that issue that you cringe when you think about it. It's that issue that just burdens your heart. You said, I wish that never happened to me. Hey, well, look, it happened, but Jesus Christ can make it seem like it never happened by getting the blood cleansed. Now, it happened. You can't get away from the fact that it happened. But guess what? He can sure help you deal with it. He can sure clean that mess up. He can sure make you feel a whole lot better. He can sure restore your relationships. He can sure heal that heart. Jesus is just that good.
Amen.
And then better. Well, we find Joshua here. If not dealt with, folks, sooner or later it's going to resurface, as we'll see here in our text. Evil effectiveness will return sooner or later. Some way, someday, somewhere, something, or someone who's oblivious to your past problem is going to use something, and the devil's going to make sure that you remind yourself of that past problem, and right away you're going to go like this. It ain't going to happen. You'll not do what they did to me. You'll not hurt me the way they hurt me. You'll not take advantage of me. You'll not. Wait a minute. God is my strength. God is my witness. Now, I'm not saying don't discern. Now, you got to discern. But you can't guard your heart against everybody. It's only by the grace of God. It's only by the grace of God that she trusted me. I met her in college. And she trusted me right off the bat. Now, that's God, because she didn't trust any other guys. Why does she trust me of all people? I have no idea. Other than that's God. God knew that one day he was going to save me and call me to preach and put me in the ministry and have her introduced to the right person that could help her. That's God.
Amen.
She didn't trust anybody else. She only trusted me. Was I somebody special? Just a sinner saved by grace. But when I met her, I was still a sinner. I wasn't saved by grace. And I took her as far as I could take her. But then God had to do the rest.
Amen.
I'm so glad that God knows what we need when we need it. And although I wanted that situation to be over years ago, God said, it's not time. I'll let you know when it's time. I said, God, but don't you know the anguish of heart? Don't you know this hurts? Look at my son on the tree. And he didn't hurt. I didn't understand all the workings of God. But God got me to see a little bit better. We'll open in chapter 22 here before We go any further. We find in chapter 22, the 2.5 tribes of Israel getting ready to settle on the other side of Jordan. Before doing so, they built an altar to remind their children that they were part of Israel. In verses 1 through 10, they began to get resettled, and they're about to go back off, and Joshua is about to send them off, and he does so. And come down to verse 10, 11, and 12, they get to the border, and they begin to build this altar so that their children can know that they belong with the other tribes on the other half, on the other side. And the other tribes find out about it and prepare to go to war against them. And we left off with this last week, the perception of the problem. Notice in verse number 11, the perception of the problem. And the children of Israel heard say, behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built an altar. So that they had this perception. They said, we hear something. And ask yourself, who heard it? Who said it? Why was it said? What was the content behind it? Why did they have to say that? Why didn't they just go and investigate it naturally and normally without having to gather up all the troops? The perception of the problem. Notice verse number 12, the preparation for the problem. When the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. I tell you, friend, when you've been evil affected, your perceptive skills are tainted. And if you don't get healed by God Almighty through the Lord Jesus Christ, your perceptive skills are tainted will be applied to other people now. And so their perception has been tainted by something, and they are perceiving something. They heard say, but then the preparation, they're gathering for war. It says, and when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war. What's your reaction when you hear of something like that? Because of past problems that happened 40 years ago, now the present people are going to get blamed and ganged up on by the whole congregation. By the way, we can get a lot of people involved in our past problems when we go ahead and apply past problems to present situations. Just by showing you how true this is. How many of y'all get on an airplane, and if you see an Arab, you're uncomfortable? Raise your hand. If we're honest, we get on the airplane, we see a turban, we see someone looks like a Muslim, we get nervous. After 911, we get nervous. Now, before 911, you didn't have a problem with an Arab, just another Arab. They just killed themselves over there. But the minute it came over here on our turf, on our state, on our country, and they hit those towers, every Muslim now is suspect to you and I in the back of our minds, and you know it's true. First thing you say, well, are they friend or foe? Do I need to go and find the exit? Am I on the exit row? Just in case they start shooting? You know what we've just done? We've applied a past problem to present people. It's so easy to do. We'll label up a whole group of people. A whole group of people. And you put a white sheet on somebody and put a white hat on him, give him a Confederate flag, and automatically he must be a KKK. It could just be Halloween or trick-or-treat. But right off the bat, whoa, got a white sheet, got the white hat, got the hose poked in, got a Confederate flag, got a torch. Oh, I know who he is. How do you know who he is? See what I'm saying? We'll take past problems and bring it on to present people, and folks, we ought not do that. We'll notice the participants against the problem. Notice verse 16. We've got a whole bunch of folks here in verse 16. Because down in verse number 13, the children of Israel sent unto the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, into the land of Gilead, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest. So they send Phinehas down here, and he's the priest. He's going to make the peace here. And my question is this. If they're sending Phinehas down there, I thought Joshua was the general. Now, why didn't they send Joshua the general if they're going to war? Joshua was the general. They didn't send Joshua. They sent Phinehas the priest. Now, that's another message. And with him, 10 princes, verse 14, of each tribe, or of each chief house of a prince. And with him, 10 princes of each chief house, a prince throughout all the tribes of Israel. And each one was in head of the house of their fathers among the thousands of Israel. And they came unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, unto the land of Gilead. And they spake with them, saying, the participants in this thing, there's a whole congregation, it says, there's a bunch. But then there's a blame that's going to get assessed here. Notice this. Thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel? They have already assumed blame to them that you're guilty and you hadn't even been tried yet. The whole bunch has laid a blame on them. And we're going to see it's based upon the past. Ye, now notice this. What trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel to turn away this day from following the Lord? Who said we turned away? And that ye have builded you an altar that ye might rebel this day against the Lord. So they have charged them unfair and unfit already. They are saying you've sinned. You've turned against God. You've rebelled. You've built this altar that you might rebel. And it's this day against the Lord. You are guilty. What happens? We bring past problems, past people, past situations, and we apply it to the present people. And say, so you're doing the same thing that they did. You say, preacher, I don't see that. You will. You will. How many times have we assigned a blame to someone on a supposition that we had based upon a problem of the past and not something currently in the future? Now, the entire congregation is set on war on a supposed trespass. Proverbs 25 and verse 8 says this, go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Amen. Find out the truth, then approach someone with the facts, not fiction. You'll find down here, not just the participants against the problem, the whole congregation, they're accusing them of their trespasses. But then coming to verse 16, notice the past of the problem. What are they doing? They're laying this problem on them because of the past problem. Notice verse 17. Is the iniquity of Peor too little for us? Talking about Baal Peor, when they many, many folks died over that. From which we were not cleansed until this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord. Notice this, but that ye must turn away this day from following the Lord. And it will be, seeing ye rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be wroth with the whole congregation of Israel. They say, look, based upon what you're doing, God's going to be mad with all of us. Now, what are they doing? They still ain't found out what they're doing. See what I'm saying? They have taken Baal Peor, a situation that happened 40 years ago that many of them had no part of because they wouldn't have got into the promised land that happened. And they're saying, you're doing just like that. Oh, really? Oh, really? Notice what it goes on to say in verse 19. Notwithstanding, if the land of your possession be unclean, then pass ye over into the land of the possession of the Lord. When the Lord's tabernacle dwelleth and take possession among us, but rebel not against the Lord, nor rebel against us in building you an altar. Beside the altar of the Lord our God. Don't build this altar because you're going to sacrifice. Nobody said anything about sacrificing yet. Notice verse 20. Did not Achan, the son of Zerah, commit a trespass and the accursed thing, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel? Now we're talking about Achan. First is Baal Peor. Now it's Achan. They're taking the past of Achan, the past of Baal Peor. They say, you're doing the same thing. Blame. Blame. What am I saying? They didn't deal with the past problem and leave it in the past. They brought it into the future and say, you're doing the same thing. Notice what it goes on to say. By the way, we've all heard the phrase, be sure your sin will find you out. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Be sure your sin will find you. Do you know who said that? Moses said that. And we use that phrase all the time, be sure your sin will find you. Do you know who Moses said that? He said that to the same tribes. Hold your finger there. Go back to Numbers. Go back to Numbers. Numbers chapter 32. And Numbers chapter 32, you're going to find that they first stumble upon this land and they want this land that they're about to settle in. The past of the problem. Notice verse number 1. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad, the children of Reuben, verse 2, came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar, the priests, and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Adaroth and Dabon and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Eleah and Shibam and Nebo and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said, now, the request is there in verses 1 through 5. Now, notice Moses' accusation here in verse number 6. And by the way, how did it start out? Which tribes? Reuben and Gad. Verse 6. And Moses said unto the children of Gad, unto the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over in the land which the Lord... God, the Lord hath given them. Now, wait a minute. They're not trying to discourage the children of Israel. But Moses said, yes, you are. Notice what happens. Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. Wait a minute. Now you're going to blame my father's sin on me. Moses said, did not your fathers do the same thing? For verse 9, for when they went up unto the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled at the same time. And he swore, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land of which I swear unto Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzites, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel and made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead, increase of sinful men, to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord towards Israel. Moses is blaming them. Say, you're just like your dad. You're just like your mom. You're just like your fathers. You're no different. A past problem on present people is not their fault. See, when we will take the past and apply it to present people and not take the word of God and let people actions be judged by the word of God, we do err. We do err. Notice what he says in verse number 15. For if you turn away after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people. Notice their defense in verse 16. And they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their place. And our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan or forward, because our inheritance has fallen to us on this side Jordan. They said, you know what? Let's defend ourselves. We're not going to be like that. We're not going to do that. This is our goal. We're going to build our stuff here. And we're going to go fight. And we'll come back here. We're not trying to discourage anybody. Notice Moses' reply in verse number 20. And Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord unto he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord. And then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land should be your possession before the Lord. But notice verse 23, but if you will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Years ago, Moses said the exact same thing to the same people. Now you fast forward it to Joshua's time, and the same crowd is getting accused all over again. How often do we take a past problem and apply it to person after person after person, and the same person's got to always defend themselves because of your insecurity? Amen. Because you've been hurt back here. You've got a past problem that you didn't deal with back there, and now person after person's got to defend themselves against you because you're insecure now. Can I get an amen? I'm trying to help you today. I'm trying to help you. The same two and a half tribes, now are being called into question. Numbers chapter, go back over to Joshua. So years before, Moses accused them, and they had to defend themselves, and they gave a reply. Now, years later, here again, past problems against present people, the blame game is being replayed, and oftentimes we reaccuse the same people, the same gender, the same position, the same authority, the same race. How often do present people have to defend themselves over and over again against us because we don't go to someone and deal with it person to person. We don't deal with it situation out of situation. We don't deal with it with the word of God. We wait, and we wait. Well, my last boss burned me, and so you will too. Well, my last spouse cheated on me, and so you will too. Well, my last teacher was unfair to me, and so you will be too. My last church used me, and so you will too. My last pastor was unfair to me, and so you will be too. My last authority was partial, and so you will be too. And on we go. Give present people a chance before you apply a past problem to their life. Give them a chance. But you know what? If your heart's not healed, you can't. If your mind's not mended, you can't. And if you're not saved, there's no way you can do it because you don't know what forgiveness is all about because you haven't gotten it from Almighty God. Amen. You've got to be saved, first of all, to understand what forgiveness is all about. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses of all sin. And guess what? I got to give him the sin. I got to get rid of it. I got to give it to him. I got to say, come into my heart, Lord. Inspect it. Go to every corner, even the ones that hurt. And sometimes I need special help to do that. I can't do it on my own. Sometimes I need a counselor to help me and walk me through that. God sent my wife, the perfect person, to help her out. And my friend, God will send you the right person too. You just have to ask. Give present people a chance where we assign a past problem. You may be evil affected and you can't let it go and cut it down. Notice the pacification of the problem. Joshua 22. We're winding down, folks. 22. And notice verse 21. We'll see the pacification of the problem. Children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh answered and said unto the heads of the thousands, praise God, finally, the voice of reason concerning the charges of the past problems against present people, they finally got approached. They finally got a chance to answer. They finally got a chance to respond to their actions. They got a chance to answer the accusations. What am I saying? Give people a chance to answer. Don't always assign blame to them so quick. Give them a chance. Let them talk about why they did what they did. It may not be what you think. May not be the way you perceived it. They may not be the person's guilty. They may not be the people behind it. Give them a chance. Amen. Finally, they get a chance to answer. Finally, the accusations get a chance to be addressed. Finally, they get a chance to say, these accusations are not true. Why? You're taking all these past problems and applied it to us, and we're not like Achan. And we're not like Baal Peor. And we're not trying to discourage the people. None of those things are true. This could have been avoided. We didn't have to go to war. You didn't have to come. All you had to do is come and ask. Don't lay any accusation. Just ask. Give you, man, if I had a dime for every person that accused me of something that had a real good answer, Pastor White, I'd be rich. A preacher did this, and preacher did this, and preacher thought that. Why don't you ask preacher what's up here? Well, you might not tell me. Well, if you need to know, I'll tell you, trust me. We need more communication between God's people and less social media confrontation. What do I mean? Stop Facebooking and start facing people with real life situations. And the only person in this room that I know of right now that needs to be on Facebook is Steve. Who's got Steve? Where's Steve at? He's around here somewhere. Steve normally is set back there on the counter, catching us online. He's about the only one that I know needs to be on Facebook right now. To get to church, amen. But the rest of us, get off Facebook and start facing people, amen. Real people, face to face. Stop running behind, hiding behind social media and text messages. We need real communication, real coordination, real cooperation. And notice the answers here. They said several things here in verse number 21, the pacification of this problem. Notice, first thing they said, God knows all. Notice verse number 21. The children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh answered and said unto the heads of thousands of Israel, the Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knoweth. And Israel, he shall know if it be in rebellion or if in transgression against the Lord. Save us not this day. Hey, they said, God knows. Hey, if it's rebellion, if it's transgression, God knows. Don't spare us this day. Kill us right now. But you got no evidence. Well, that altar over there, you ain't even asked us what it was for. So how you going to kill me? You ain't asked me what it was for. What did he say? They said, God knows all. But then God judges all. Notice verse number 23. That we have built us an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if to offer thereon burnt offerings or peace or meat offerings, or if to offer peace offerings thereon, let the Lord himself require it. He said, God knows all, God judges all. Let God require it. Then he says, God knows all reasons. Notice verse 24. And if we have not rather done it for this thing, fear of this thing, saying, in time to come, your children might speak to our children, saying, what have ye to do with the Lord God of Israel? They said, the truth be known, God is all judging, and God knows all the reasons. God knows why we did it. We said, you know what? If fear is going to settle on our hearts, our children aren't going to know your children. They're going to say, what do you have to do with us? You don't belong to us. He said, yes, we do. Look at that altar. It's just like the one you got on that side, amen? It's just that we're on this side. He said, just ask and we'll tell you. When they say, God knows all. God judges all. God knows all the reasons, but then God knows all the situations. Notice verse 25. For the Lord hath made a Jordan, a border between us and you, ye children of Reuben and children of Gad. Ye have no part in the Lord. So your children make our children cease from fearing the Lord. They said, look, God knows the reasons why we did this. He knows our situations. But then God knows all discussions. Notice 26. Therefore, we said, let us, notice that, prepare to build us an altar, not for burnt offering, nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between us and you and our generations after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifices and with our peace offerings, that your children may not say to our children in time to come, ye have no part in the Lord. They said, hey, look, God knows. Therefore, said we, that it shall be when they should so say to us, to our generations in time to come, that we may say again, behold, the pattern of the altar of the Lord, which our fathers made, not for burnt offerings, nor sacrifices, but It is a witness between us and you. They said, look, you come to war. You come to lay accusations and blame on us. You come blaming us for Baal Peor. You come blaming us for Achan. You come bringing up the discouragement. We had no intentions on that at all. And you come into war. You don't even have Joshua with you. You got these 10 princes with you. And you're going to come over here and lay all kind of accusations on us. You've brought a past problem to present people and it's unfounded. You need to let it go. You need to let it go. You need to let it go. God knows all rebellion as well, they said. Notice verse 29. God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord. Turn this day from following the Lord and to build an altar for burnt offerings, for meat offerings or for sacrifices beside the altar of the Lord our God. That is before his tabernacle. They said, God forbid we should do something like that. Why would we want to do that? Why would we want to do that? You know, folks come to me, well, preacher, you did this. Why would I want to do that? Do you think I'm out to intentionally hurt people? Why would I do that? You know, some folks lay blame and charge. Oh, preacher, you just did this here. You did this because of that reason. Oh, really? Now you know my motives. Now you know my heart. Now you know why I did. Now you're a heart reader instead of and a mind reader as well. Well, you did this for this reason. But how do you know? Did you ask me? Ask me. I'll tell you. Trust me. Inquiring minds want to know, and I want to divulge. But if you don't ask me, how do I know you're even inquiring it? But what you do then, you take and what you think or perceive, you evil speak to someone over there and you make their minds evil affected against the brethren. And so they have this thing. And so they look at me suspect now and say, yeah, I thought that'd be, it's just as I perceive. Look at him. Girl. Him and his wife and his kids. Just like they said, evil affected their minds against the brethren. Whether inadvertently or on purpose. You bring that past problem, you tell somebody else, and now they believe it, and now you got them looking crazy, and they can't trust you, they can't trust me, they can't trust anybody. They're up in the corner, like we said last week. Finally, the past problem was addressed and faced. Amazingly, it did not apply to the present people. Imagine that. Imagine that. The past problem didn't apply to the present people. We'd be amazed that what does not really apply to present people, we'd only take time to listen. Matthew 18:15 says, moreover, thy brother shall offend, that's a trespass against thee. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Didn't say bring the whole congregation of Israel. Didn't say to get the 10 princes and assemble for war and come with a mass load of people, a whole bunch of people, and lay blame on someone. It says, go to him and find out. Go to him and talk. Communicate. That's what he gave us a mouth for. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Notice the pleasing and the problem, verse 30. When Phinehas the priest and the princes of the congregation, the heads of the thousands of Israel which were with him, heard the words that the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the children of Manasseh spake, notice it pleased them. Well, I imagine so. I imagine so. You know, we got this thing cleared up. Amazing what can happen when we leave past problem with past people. Let present people answer for present problems. Amazing what can happen. Amazing. If not dealt with sooner or later, these issues would have resurfaced again some way, someday, somewhere, by something or someone who is totally oblivious to the past problem. Notice verse 31. And Phinehas, son of Eleazar the priest, said unto the children of Reuben, to the children of Gad, and to the children of Manasseh, this day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because ye have not committed this trespass against the Lord. Wait a minute, it was all supposed anyway. We never had our mind set up. We weren't going to think about doing it anyway. Well, we know God's with us now because you're not going to do that. Well, I wasn't going to do it in the first place. You know, what you mean is now your mind and your heart's clear. Because you know I'm not going to do it. And you know I never had any intentions on doing it. So now your heart's clear now. Now you're not evil affected again. You don't have to bring up Baal Peor. You don't have to bring up the discouragement of the tribes. You don't have to bring up Achan and all that. But now you know that we don't mean anything by it because you talked to us. You got it right. You got it settled. Now your heart's clear because there was never a problem with my heart. Amen. I was just doing this for my children's sake and for your children's sake so they don't go to war like you and us about to do. Amen. God help us in the church to get a hold of this. God help us to get a hold of the church. You know, you leave another church and you come and bring that into this church because you got an issue with that church. And if you don't deal with it back there, you're going to bring it here. You know, if you got an issue with your mom or your dad or your son or your daughter, if you don't deal with it there, you're going to bring it into this church. You're going to deal with it here. If you got an issue with a coworker or somebody or something or something, you're going to evil speak against them and affect someone else. You're going to bring it in here. God help us to deal with it. God help us to deal with it. Now, certain things are a lot deeper, like my wife. And that needs special attention and special help. I told my wife one of these days I want her to give a ladies' meeting and give her testimony and give all the details of what happened in her situation, because I know there's some folks that could benefit by understanding her better when they hear her testimony. But if you don't know her testimony, you don't really understand her. But once you hear her testimony, I believe you'll understand her a whole lot better as to why she is the way she is and who she is. You'll understand a whole lot better what's going into making her. And I guarantee, once you devote some things about your life to her, she might understand a whole lot more about you. Why? Because it's easy to take a past problem and assign it to present people. It's easy to take a past problem of a gender, of a person, of a place, of a people, of a group, or whatever it is, and apply that to present people and say, you'll not do to me what was done to me back there. And when we do, we err. Because we still have the Word of God that is supposed to do exactly that. Try people by the Word of God, not by your perceptions, not by what you think, not by what you feel. Try them by the Word of God. And let me encourage you, if you're not saved, you don't know how to do it. If you don't have the blood of Jesus Christ on your life, you don't understand about forgiveness. You don't understand how to truly forgive someone because you've never been forgiven by the Lord God of heaven. But let me tell you something, friend. God is standing by to forgive you. He's wanting to cover your sins. He's wanting to cleanse your transgressions. He's wanting to help you with your iniquity, as we saw with the men's devotion. God is ready to do that for you because He loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Yes, God sees your pain. Yes, God sees your past. Yes, God sees your problem. Yes, God sees those people. God sees the predicament. He sees it all. So tell it to Jesus. Amen. He's the one. He's the one. You know, we want to lay blame on everybody else when the problem is right here. You want to blame everybody else. It's everybody else's fault. It's everybody else's fault. It's your fault. No, it's not your fault, because you won't get rid of it. Cut it down. Let it go. A whole nation about to go to war over a past problem that wasn't cleared up. I don't know about you, but don't hold a grudge. Don't apply past problems to present people. Let present people deal with present problems. Deal with people not with prejudice, but with the pure Word of God. It said it pleased them this day. They said, now we know there's not a problem. It really was never a problem. It would just sit down and talk. Where's your heart at today? Maybe you received the rule of the rejectors. Maybe someone tainted your mind and then you got that thing right. But now you can't really deal with relationships. You can't really deal with people because it didn't really get all the way dealt with. That evil affectedness of your mind has not been healed yet. The heart's not been healed. The mind's not been mended. You're not just right. And you keep applying past problems to present people. You need to get with God today. You need to come down to the old-fashioned altar and say, God, do for me what you did for Mrs. Dawson. God, do for me what you did to many others before. God, free me of that past problem. Free me of that pain, that person, that situation, that predicament. God, free me of that. I want to have that clean heart. I want to grow up in the Lord. I don't want to keep applying the past to people. I don't want to keep thinking about this thing. I want to deal with it and put it to rest. And friend, you might need help doing it. You might not be able to do it yourself. Say, preacher, how can you make such a statement? Because you ain't done it yet. Amen. If you could do it, you'd already done it. You'd already done it. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're looking around. Father, I know this is a type of message that's different from most. Lord, nonetheless, I think it's a message that we need to hear. Lord, too many of your people, I believe, are bound in the past with problems and peoples and situations and predicaments. And too many of your people, Lord, I believe, are taking that same past, bringing it into the present, and blaming present people and not giving them a fair chance because someone evil affected them. Oh, God, help us to deal with evil affectedness. Help us not to evil affect, or help us not to be evil affected. But, Lord, when we are, help us to deal with it, with that person, with that place, that predicament right away, so that we don't prejudice others. Lord, there may be somebody in the sound of my voice that's never been born again. They need to be saved. Lord, your word is clear. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Work in hearts today. Work in minds today. Help us to see where we stand. And if we need to be saved, Lord, help us take that step of faith and reach out and grab your hand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no looking around. How many would say, preacher, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I've been baptized. I'm trying to do the best I can, trying to keep the Ten Commandments. But with all that said, if I died right now, I have not the confidence that heaven is my home. I'm not really sure of that. I want to go to heaven, but I'm really not confident, 100% sure. Would you pray for me that I can get it settled today? Everybody, heads bowed and eyes are closed. Would you raise that hand? Man, woman, boy, or girl, I want to pray for you. Amen. I see one hand. You may put it down. Is there another? I see that one. You may put it down. Is there another? I'm not really sure. I'm a Christian. I want to be sure, but I'm not absolutely positive. Anybody else? Amen. I'll pray for these two. How about this? Have you been evil affected? Have you received the rule of rejectors? Maybe someone spoke and said something to you, whether on purpose or inadvertently, and it's affected you towards others. Maybe you need to get that right. Maybe after receiving the rule of rejectors, you got that right, but now you just won't let certain types of people in, and you're applying past problems to present people. Maybe you need to get that right. Now, I don't know what's going on in your mind, in your heart. I don't know who you have to deal with, but whoever it is, there's a God that loves you. There's a God that has blood that can cleanse you. There's a God that can heal your heart and mend your mind. But you've got to be willing to let him explore and open up those doors that's for so long plagued you. You've got to be willing to do that. Father, bless now this invitation. Do what you do best. Save souls, change lives, change hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Maybe today you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar for cleansing. Maybe you've received the rule of a rejector, and maybe you need to say, Lord, I've been evil affected in my mind, and I need to get that right. Or maybe you've gotten that right, and you said, but now, Lord, I've got a wall up and a block, and I'm applying past problems to present people. God, I've got to get that right, and I don't want to do that. And maybe you need to come down to the old-fashioned altar and pray and ask God to take it away. Would you come? Would you come? Maybe today God spoke in your heart in some other way, and you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar. Would you come? Or maybe you wanted to join this church. Would you come? Whatever it is, as the music plays. Maybe you raise your hand saying you're not sure of heaven. Would you let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved? Would you let us take God's word and share God's love with you? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Would you let us show you? How about it? Would you like to be saved? Would you like to know that heaven is your home? Would you like to be sure? Have you taken a past problem and plotted the present people? Why don't you let God heal your heart? Why don't you let him mend your mind? There's a God that loves you. There's a God that cares for you. My wife, living proof of that, and many others. I don't know where you stand or what's going on, but I know there's a God in heaven that is able. No matter what it is, God is able. You raised your hand saying you're not sure of salvation. Would you let us take a Bible and show you? You know, you've got to come. If you like to deal with it, we're here. Meet you right down in front. Your man, we'll get a man to take you to a separate room and show you how you can be saved. Your woman, we'll get a woman to take you to a separate room and show you how you can be saved. But you've got to come of your own will, your own accord. Would you come this morning? I'm not talking about joining this church. I'm talking about getting saved. Would you come? Would you come? Don't let the devil hold you back. Don't let him hold you back. You say, preacher, but I'm afraid. I'm nervous. I'm scared. I know you are. That's why we'll meet you right down front. We'll walk you through the scriptures and let you know how God loves you. How God wants to save you. Say, preacher, what if I don't get saved? Then there awaits a torment in a place called hell, which God wants for no one. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. How about it? To let God have his way with your life today. To let him clear up that past problem that you have. To let him take away that evil effectiveness that you have. To let him deal with that rule of that rejector that you received. Let him clear up that past problem so you can handle present people. According to the word of God. Would you come? Christians are praying. How about you? This is Savior. I surrender all. Father, thank you once again for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for being a God that loves us. Lord, I pray that this message this morning might be utilized to help a hurting heart today. Mend a wounded mind. And Lord, restore relationship that someone may need restored. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Take this message. Use it in every heart, every mind, every member. Lord, we're all guilty of applying past problems to present people if we're honest. We all do it. And in some shape, fashion, or form, just some more than others, some more severe than others. But help us, Lord, to get away from past problems and give everybody an honest, fair shot by applying the Word of God and not our past problem. And let the Word of God be the guider and the dictator to truth. You said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. Thank you, Lord, for meeting with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me have you.